Hey all, my name is Whitney Larson and I am guest hosting this week's episode of Inside Ag. Today I'm bringing you another Western Kansas girl who thrives on helping and educating others on ways to improve animal health, as well as learning more and staying up to the newest technologies. Brooke grew up on a small farm with a love of rodeo in Western Kansas. She had early exposure to ag industry with her family having a commercial feed truck business. After a stint in Oklahoma for college in the oil industry, Brooke came back to Western Kansas, where she now works for Zoetis as a dairy territory manager. One hazard of the job was meeting her now husband, Noah, who is a dairyman at J7 Dairy. They are expecting their first baby, Johnson, next month. Hey, Brooke, how are you?
I'm good. Happy I get to talk to you today, Whitney.
I know. So let's dive right in. We want to explain a little about what Zoetis is and what you do.
Yes. So Zoetis, more formally, I think we just came up on our 10-year anniversary, but we are formally known as Pfizer. Pfizer basically decided to spin off their animal pharmaceutical piece. So what is now Pfizer is now Zoetis. And I work specifically on the dairy side. So I call on dairies to help provide them with different solutions, pharmaceutical needs for their dairy cows and all their replacements.
Yes. So when you say that, you're talking like antibiotics, any of that stuff to help with sickness?
Yeah. So I kind of like to think about it as a compendium of care, because it's really changed, right? Like, it used to be like, how can we fix this problem that we have on our hands? Now it's like, how can we stop before we have this problem? So I deal in vaccines. I deal in antibiotics. I deal in genomic testing. So predicting, you know, like what diseases are we going to be up against? We also deal in different technologies to try to, you know, predict what are these animals dealing with. So really the spectrum of health to provide health for these dairy cows.
So some of the testing that you do, the kids and I got to go tour J7 Dairy, which was super cool for us because, first of all, I didn't know there was so much technology on a dairy. Second of all, the advancements that have come with stuff is unreal to me. And so one part of that testing was showing if a cow, now correct me if I'm wrong, will continue to develop mastitis.
Correct.
And so that's a huge deal for a dairyman, right? To know whether you should be culling or what you should be doing.
Yes. I mean, it is very factual that healthy animals are correlated with profitable animals. So for us to be able to predict is definitely something that the farmers want to invest in. So like, for example, with the genetic testing, we can say, is she inclined to have mastitis? Is she more inclined to have metritis? We can even look, you know, we can predict how likely as a calf are they to have scours? How much milk is she likely to produce? So then when you can look at your whole herd and say, you know, this herd is, or this group of animals has a very good chance of being very healthy compared to this one. These are also more likely to produce a lot more milk. You can make better decisions and also be preemptive with how you're managing those animals.
Absolutely. So that's unreal to me, because I don't know how new this technology is, but I'm sure 20 years ago, people were still trying to decide who was going to have mastitis when and how to treat it and what to do. And now you're basically preventing it before it even hits the herd.
Yeah, I mean, because we're ultimately genomically selecting. And so when it comes to breeding, we're making sure, like, when we're breeding these animals, are we getting the best gene? Not, you know, natural selection. And yeah, you're right, Whitney. 20 years ago, was the technology there? Yes, but was it being adopted? Nothing like it is today, you know?
Right.
And it's, you've seen it, Whitney, in person. It's a simple ear notch test that doesn't hurt the animals, takes just a few seconds.
It's tiny. Like when you say ear notch, it's like the end of a pencil eraser.
Yeah. Little pencil eraser. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's so non-invasive, but then from all the information, the spreadsheets that I get on this information on all these individual cows is miles long, right? That we can, you know, and you guys, you hear now about like people that maybe have casein allergy type issues. So they want to drink A2 milk. We can tell you, is there going to be A2 milk coming from this cow or not? Like, that's how we decide whether or not it's going to be A2 milk. You know, I can genetically test and know whether or not they're going to be pulled. Like, will they have horns or not? You know, just all these things that we can learn from that. But then, like, to your point, like when you're talking about mastitis, we can from then know what's our risk here. Are we going to be able to reduce this? You know, in herds that we test with, we see huge decreases once they start testing and continue utilizing this information to better their herd. we see huge reductions in their incidence of mastitis or these different health rates just because they have healthier animals that they created from a simple little test.
Right. And so in turn, you technically are using less medications than you would have been previously.
100%, Whitney. Like that is, you're able to significantly reduce your antibiotics. Also, I mean, the other thing that you think about is, what is it? It doesn't just take antibiotics to treat an animal. It takes labor, right? And right. I don't know a farmer one that's not having issues with labor right now, right? So when you can reduce that also, that's huge.
Absolutely. That's a really big deal. So then as the territory manager, how many dairies do you call on, and what's a day-to-day pre-pregnancy? Because I know it's getting a little hard now that you're close to delivering. What's day-to-day life of Brooke look like being a territory manager?
So I strictly, like, my customers are all in Western Kansas. So Western Kansas has, above national herd average size. So, you know, some of my counterparts, like in Minnesota, he might have like 200 customers where I only have 25. So that's a little bit different. I really like that. My day-to-day, Whitney. So I spend a lot of time, you know, things look a lot different post-COVID, right? So a lot of my time is spent virtually communicating A with customers or internally with my team of how, you know, making plans of how we can support our customers. But I do a lot of, this is a big part of the reason I wanted to come to Zoetis. I didn't just want to sell drugs. I wanted to be able to actually like help. And what I do with a lot of my customers is I get to go in and we get to actually like kind of evaluate how they're getting along from a health standpoint and then come up with solutions to help them. So for example, let's say I have a customer come to me and is like, hey, you know, we're having a lot of mastitis. We don't know. We can't figure out what's causing it. Can you put a second pair of eyes on it? Sure. We'll go in there. We'll evaluate their, you know, how are they milking? How are they prepping these cows before they milk them? We might run different samples to see different cultures of like what bacteria they're dealing with and so forth. So then we can evaluate, you know, what's actually going on there. Is the products that they're using of ours maybe to treat mastitis or prevent mastitis? Are they appropriate? So that it might be a day that I spend half a day in a parlor just watching cows all day. I might spend the day, half a day walking cows, calves, you know, looking at calves, seeing their overall health. The other big piece that the dairy has is, and you got to see a little bit of this with me. I remember you kind of being like, what? Dairies of today have high, intense records on all these animals. So they are continuously, whether if an animal's sick, they know how much the animal's eating. They know when the cow was born, when she was impregnated. Like all those things are recorded. So I spend a chunk, I would say probably 50% of my time taking those records and analyzing them, basically looking for trends. Seeing if there's something, you know, if they're saying, hey, we're, you know, our cows within 30 days after they have their calf, we're seeing a lot of mastitis. Can you help look at this? I might go spend half the day in the parlor evaluating, but then I'm also going to dive into the data to say, hey, when did this start happening? You know, did I see this increase of an event 30 days ago, 60 days ago? Well, hey, Western Kansas has gotten, how much rain have we gotten in the last?
I don't know. I'd actually have to look at my records, but I was asked this yesterday. And we were at 9 inches total for 2022, and we've for sure passed that.
Isn't that just
by a ways already in August, which is such a blessing. I mean, dealing with the drought was not fun, but it's just a whole new world with us dealing with moisture.
Well, I mean, I can see it. Like, there's definitely, like, for this year, my dairymen are dealing with an increase in mastitis. You know, most of the dairies out here, they're open lots of. You know, they're dealing with mud and so forth. I call them good problems, right? Like, you don't want to deal with that, but we can't go without rain. So that's a lot of what my day looks like, Whitney, is just a lot of trying to match up what's physically happening versus what does data look like.
So when people hear a Zoetis rep, you know, previously with Pfizer, like, I just thought somebody drove around in their van, was dropping off drugs, not dealing drugs. I'm not going to say that. Dropping off drugs, whatever people needed. But your job is so much more than just peddling some antibiotics and stuff. You're really digging into every herd that you deal with.
Yes. And, you know, and some herds that I work with, like, they have their own specialists. They maybe don't need me, but But the customers that I deal with, that a lot of them that are using my products, they just appreciate that support. Like that's an extra, we call it the value add that we bring with our products. And you know, when Zoetis first approached me about applying for a position, I was like, I don't want to be a drug dealer. Like,
I mean, that's exactly what I picture.
Yes. And yeah, that definitely.
But it's so much more.
Yes, it is. And that's why I feel like, A, not only do I get to help my customers, I also get to help like the ag industry as a whole. And then also, you know, just like our local ag community.
Absolutely. So then these records that the dairymen get, and you're calling on pretty large dairies. We're not talking small herds here. How long do they keep these records, or how do they keep these records organized in a way that it's not a mess to find when there's thousands of cattle in there?
Every one of my customers in Western Kansas has a database system. The one that I deal with most regularly is called DairyComp. So it is just basically a database system that they go through and enter the information on these animals. There's many others out there these days. I know some of my herds that I work with deal with like Bovisync. So those are some, but it's, I mean, it is a data warehouse basically. And what's kind of wild, like another technology piece, is all these animals, you know, as soon as they're born, as soon as they hit the ground, they get what we call an EID tag. So maybe you've been somewhere and, for example, I went skiing this past winter, and we had our tags that like allowed us to like, they'd scan before we got onto the ski lift. That's ultimately what these tags are in the cow's ears. They could scan me and they could be like, oh, Brooke, she's approved. She can go ski. Well, what happens at the dairy is they scan the cow and then they enter exactly what's going to happen. Like, she's getting vaccinated. She's sick. So that's all recorded in the individual employee's handheld devices as they're walking around the dairy.
So they're not walking around with a clipboard and a pencil anymore.
No. Clipboard and pencil, like they couldn't efficiently operate. There's no way. And that's, you know, when we talk about like antibiotics and withholds and how do they keep track of all this? It's right there. The database system keeps it collected, keeps it organized for them. You know, let's say, for example, they have a pen of 300 cows and they need to go pick 5 of them out of there. Okay. They need to move them to another area. All that, they can pull up the list that the data warehouse basically creates for them. They go through and scan each animal in that pen. And as soon as they come across the animal that they're supposed to pull, it'll tell them. It actually says need her.
Need her.
Need her. Yeah.
Which so is like, amazing. I mean,
right. Because there's no, let's, you know, these cows, they have tag numbers. So you could go look through every tag number. But Whitney, if I gave you 5 numbers that were each 6-digit long and a pen of 300 cows.
Take you all
cows,
day.
Exactly.
Half a day.
Right. So no, I mean, that is how it's all recorded. That's how it's maintained. And then we basically just go through it and evaluate it. And right. Then, you know, a dairy that I was at yesterday, they have records that I was looking at dated back to 14 because they wanted to see like, what has our progress looked over the last so many years? I mean, that's almost 10 years. So we pulled it up.
That's unreal. So you grew up beef side for sure. Beef community, you know, your parents are selling, well, they'd sell that to mixers to dairy too, but a lot of your life growing up was beef. How has that transitioned and been a change for you to switch over to dairy?
Yeah, definitely. So where I'm from is from Scott City, Kansas. If you're familiar, like that is right in the heart of feedlot country. There's 600,000 head of beef animals in there. I grew up processing. I grew up doing all that. And I've heard people say like the only same thing that's the same between a dairy cow and a beef animal is the fact that they're bovine. And so when in the dairy industry, relatively, Whitney, is kind of new to Kansas. And I say relatively as compared to like Wisconsin or California. Dairy didn't move into Kansas until the 90s. So that's, I mean, yes, that's a good chunk of time, but not really in comparison to the rest of the world. So just in general, I think Western Kansas people, yes, we know we have dairies here, but like they're not intertwined. Like people know about the feedlots. You know, you can go ask anyone on the street questions about a feedlot and they know. You don't as much with the dairy. So when it was positioned to me like a position on the dairy side of the Zoetis, I'm like, I don't know. Actually, what I said was, is I go, I don't know anything about those black and whites. Like, I don't know if this is right. And their response was, it's fine, Brooke. They're not even all black and white. You'll figure it out.
Like, okay. Good luck, girl.
But they told me the reason that they thought I would be a good fit for the job is because, like, I come from a financial analysis background. Like, that's my past history. And they're like, you like numbers, you like diving into data. I think you'll like this. They were spot on, right?
Turns out.
But that, like, the first month I was on the job as a wedding, my boss, he was very much like, you can't go onto a dairy without, like, a fellow colleague. He was very nervous about, like, if I knew how to get around. And he was right. I wouldn't have.
Right.
You know, like, there's just so many things that are so much different. And there's just so much. It's not just feeding animals and processing animals, like, and I'm simplifying what goes on in a feeder. That's not the case. But, like, there's just a lot more steps, I think, involved in a dairy. So.
Yeah. And it's definitely funny, you know, we take advantage of, hey, I'm going to go get a gallon of milk. And you have no idea the backstory on what all goes on that dairy between technology. And I mean, when we were there, I was truly baffled at the amount of information and things that are happening there. Just the feed rations alone, I was like, holy moly, we're putting all that and you're feeding it to the cow. And it was unreal.
We talk about, you know, like, there's a big deal to, like, push for internet in rural America. And Whitney, you and I have recently talked about this, you know, when the phone lines go down, I cannot explain to you, like, not having electricity and not having Wi-Fi or internet activity at the dairy, how much it just really clogs things up. Cause you figure, you know, like I was talking about this, the data warehousing system. Every day, the data warehousing system sends over to the feed system how many cows are in each pen. That decides how much feed is going to go in each ration to make sure that there is enough to specifically meet the needs of those animals.
So that goes down and you're basically working blind.
Exactly. You have to manually do it. Are guys capable of that? Yes.
Of course.
It's just we're creating all these efficiencies, and, you know, rather than getting done feeding at 4 or 5 o'clock, it's going to be 9 o'clock at night. You know,
right.
So it's and the rations are clear down to, we have machines called micro machines that literally, you know, you and I get our pill of multivitamins out that's specially created for us. The micro machine creates a special makeup for each pen of cows, creates it and pushes it into the loader or into the feed wagon for it to be mixed up.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, very much so.
And those cows are treated like gold. I mean, look at the time and technology that's put into them.
Oh, 100%. We, like, me being pregnant, you know, some people might not, like, appreciate being, like, using things to be, like, compared to a cow. But constantly, Noah, my husband and I are, like, comparing, like, different things I have going on to being a cow. But there's just so much, like, in the sense of, like, they're treated so well, like, it's the same thing. Like, hey, how would we treat this in a cow? Like, what are we doing with me?
Oh, just wait till you have that baby and start breastfeeding. He'll really have some one-liners then.
Oh, yeah. My lactation specialist husband.
So let's go into that. How has being pregnant and being a woman in this industry as a whole been for you?
So this is our first child. So being just pregnant in general, I'm obviously super naive about. As I told you, I was really shocked. This is going to sound funny too. I think a lot of people have, like, it can be pretty debilitating. Like, when I can't get off the couch, I just didn't know that was a thing. Like, so take that into mind when I'm thinking about this. But I think, you know, every job is different, but being pregnant in ag, I think there's things that I had to think about and take into consideration and evaluate that just, you know, I didn't realize I was going to be thinking about, you know, dealing with people. That's probably been the first one that's been interesting. I feel like you can kind of group people's reactions and how they, like, handle working with me, like being my colleagues, being my customers. You can kind of group them into three groups. There's the first group that's like super comfortable. You know, they've probably had a colleague that they dealt with in the last few years that was pregnant. They knew to be open, supportive, ask questions. Then there's the second group who is, like, super uncomfortable. You can tell, like, they don't want to ask anything. They feel, you know, I'm like 20 weeks pregnant and definitely, like, have a belly. So I presume they know I'm pregnant, and that you can just tell, like, they don't want to say anything. They don't. So I've definitely figured out those are the type of people that I just need to be very open with, like, to help them out so they feel more comfortable.
Right.
Like,
And then there's a group that thinks you're handicapped.
Exactly, Whitney. Like, just the presumptive group. And that's probably been the harder, like, I think part of that is just because, like, being pregnant has changed from what I can understand. You know, it used to be like, you shouldn't exercise, you shouldn't do anything, you shouldn't be labor intensive.
And now it's don't change your day to day. Don't.
Yeah.
Stay don't active, change what you've done doing. Always.
And there's also, you know, like, I've dealt with, like, people being presumptive in the fact of, like, oh, she's just upset because she's hormonal. No, I'm upset because I'm upset.
Right.
You know, there's that. There's, yeah, to your point, being presumptive that I'm just incapable. Or, you know, maybe it's like I have an opinion or a stance or like a finding on something. And they're like, oh, are you sure that you just don't have pregnancy brain? Well, maybe I do, but not
well,
now.
It could be, but.
But that's, I think that, like, when it comes to, like, people, that's the big thing that, like, when people are just, you know, they'll ask me questions and just not make presumptions has been huge for me. Because, you know, there is things that I shouldn't be doing or, you know, don't want to be doing. And, you know, when individuals be like, hey, do you want to do this or would it be better if not? Like, I appreciate them because they're not presuming that I'm handicapped, but they're also taking into consideration, like, hey, she is
pregnant.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
So that's, and I think, yeah. And like I said, just like, trying to tell people, like, I just can't get over the number of guys that I've realized I've been sitting in meetings with, and women for that matter, that, like, I can just tell they want to ask some questions about, like, can we do this, can we do that, but they're scared to death because I haven't even said I'm pregnant yet.
And to even me, though, like, I'm rocking a basketball under my shirt.
Like, I mean, that's, I've, like, joked, I'm like, did you guys just think this was a beer belly? Or but they just don't want to, like,
so we're presumptions. For better knowing, we're 6 weeks apart pregnancy wise and live in the same town. And the other day I went in somewhere, it was just 2 weeks ago. Are you expecting? And I was like, no, I'm fat. I mean, I look like I have a bowling ball under my shirt.
Well, that's, and, like, I appreciate people, like, not.
I do.
There's probably been some days that people might have thought I was pregnant and I really had just a beer belly, but.
Right.
No,
That's do you definitely... feel like you experienced any of that pre-pregnancy, like when you started in the industry as a woman as a whole?
What do you mean by that?
Like people not handicapping you, but just being a woman in the industry that's flooded with men.
Yes, I think, and the thing of it is I figured out is the majority of people that will do that, it is with pure good intention.
Yeah.
You know, they were raised that, you know, women shouldn't do this. And, you know,
well, it's a generational thing.
Yes, very much so. And it's also cultural. You have to figure, like, with Zoetis, I work, you know, with a lot of people who are not from the United States, you know, Africa, Brazil, Argentina, you name it. And so a lot of them, just like, they were raised differently. Culturally, they had a different experience and they were supposed to handle things differently. So kind of taking that into consideration. And that's, it's just a lot of times just having those conversations. But yeah, no, there's definitely in the past, I've had some experiences where, and it's also, Whitney, it's not just the, you know, oh, you shouldn't do this. It's also the expectation that you will do something because you're female.
Right. Or can you even?
Yes. Are you capable of that? Yes, I'm definitely capable of
that.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to show you now.
Yeah, exactly. No, for sure. I think the other thing that's been crazy, Whitney, about being pregnant is, like, with specifically the thing I do is, like, dealing with zoonotic diseases and then, like, the different, like, chemicals and drugs.
Yep.
You know, like, I sell a hormone called Lutalyse. If I were to
be very careful.
Yeah. Like, if I were to get it on my skin, it could instantly abort my child. You know, yep. So there's stuff like that. There's different diseases that cattle carry. You know, it was brought to my attention by a vet. Not even like my doctor, we hadn't really talked about it, but my doctor was like, hey, or excuse me, my vet was like, hey, I really would suggest maybe you stay out of parlors right now because of lepto, which is a possible, it's a zoonotic disease that, like, I could pick up, but it causes abortion and you get it from urine. So when you're in a parlor, it can be close contact. I could come in contact with urine a lot easier. Like, she was just bringing that up to me. And I'm like, I didn't even think about that.
So there are a lot of extra precautions you've been having to take to protect yourself and baby.
Yes. I would say, like, hygiene. I don't do anything on the dairy without gloves on, which I probably shouldn't anyway. Right.
Right.
But now I've just definitely been significantly more.
Your maternal brain is already ticking.
Yes, for sure. You know, crypto and calves is not uncommon, but that's also zoonotic. Like, I could get it. So if I know of any going on that there's like an outbreak, yeah, I'm going to stay away from that. So just different, like, you just kind of got to change how your mindset is.
Yep, for sure. So do you feel like you had touched on the pandemic stuff? Do you feel like that made, I'm sure it made for more Zoom meetings, more over the phone calls, such, do you feel like that's made your job a little easier or different? Or, I mean, would you prefer to be on the dairy talking to someone, or has it made it easy that you can say, hey, let's Zoom in an hour?
I like the Zoom. I feel like it's increased, you know, quantity over quality, you know, that saying. It has increased the quantity, decreased the quality. What I can go sit down in front of a customer or have a presentation or have someone, you know, like a vet that I work with closely that I appreciate their opinion, having them sitting in a room and having a discussion compared to doing it over Zoom, it's just, it's quality significantly.
Match it.
Yes. I post COVID, I feel like as a whole, my job changed significantly in the sense of, and Whitney, like, I know you've felt this. I know everybody's felt this in one way or another, but I spend so much more time trying to make sure that my customers will receive the product that they need.
Right.
You know, just supply, right? It's shipping, moving, like maybe we have it, but we just can't get it to them or whatever it be. I spend so much more time from like a logistical standpoint.
Trying to make sure they get what they need.
Yes. And then I've also definitely seen my parents definitely, my dad was very big on like, if he was going to sell a feed truck to someone, he didn't want to sell it unless he could service it or like the expectations were set. He always wanted to be able to take care of people. So that was really instilled with me. So I feel like that's been so much more heightened because the service industry as a whole, I think has went backwards since COVID. I think
he was trying to finally.
And so I feel like that's definitely intensified. So
and that goes back to the labor shortage.
Exactly.
Not being able to find help.
Exactly. So I feel like that's definitely been an increase in that direction. But that's the only thing that like I would say from like a COVID standpoint that's different is just how much more time I spend on that side, which I wish I wasn't, right? I wish I was doing other, but.
But that's where you're at.
Now. Yeah.
So do you feel like life is going to, well, life is obviously going to change a bunch when you have a baby, but do you feel like it's going to make your job different?
You tell me.
Full time?
Yes, I do. I definitely do. Obviously, you know, everybody keeps asking us, so what are you doing for a babysitter? And I'm like, that's a really good question.
Wait, I was supposed to find that already?
I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to have that figured out. It's also interesting. So my husband is one of 11. His mom stayed home, raised him. You know, when I talked about babysitters, he kind of just looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, remember, I'm going back to work. And he's like, of course. And I'm like, so what, well, what
are
we going to
watch
do?
It?
I think there was something about he was going to put a car seat on the flatbed and our German Shepherd was going to babysit. So maybe that's where
Perfect.
We're at.
Perfect. Athena, she could do the job.
I think she could. Yes, Whitney, I definitely do. I feel like Zoetis is extremely supportive of working mothers. So
which
I
is
think
amazing.
That's, yes. They are extremely supportive. I think that that's, you know, the one thing about ag is people are supportive, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have your ones that aren't, but for the most part, I mean, even like let's say just like if I can transcend it from being pregnant, it's not, you know, I've had some meetings, like I was super sick and I couldn't get to, as soon as I let my customers know, oh, no big deal. Let's reschedule, you know? So I think I'm just going to have to definitely work on the flexibility piece. A lot of what I do on the dairies happens early in the morning. So I'm going to have to figure like, how does that work? The
right.
good thing is I'm surrounded by half a dozen that I can think of right off the top of my head that I have had good conversations with already that I work with that are figuring it out. So I'm not having to cut the trail, I guess.
Right. Which is amazing. For someone who's so passionate about her job, you don't want to, and there's some people out there that have the calling and yearning to stay home and to homeschool and do all these things. But there's also the flip side where there's those women that thrive outside of the home. They thrive sending their kids to daycare or to public school, and they just really love their jobs that much. And I respect both sides of that spectrum for all women.
Oh, I, Whitney, 100%. I mean, I see some of the things like you're doing with your kids and some of the things, you know, like the gardens that you have and your chickens and all that. Like, that's probably something that I'm going to struggle to ever have because I can't do both, you know?
Right.
So, like, I think there's such good things on both sides of it. It's just, you know, like, kind of
And
how do you want to go
it's
about it?
okay to want those things, but not, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And I
Like,
think
hey,
that's
that'd be cool, but do I have time for a garden? No.
exactly. Like, I see all your chickens and your ducks, and I think that is so awesome. And then I think there's not a
Your
chance.
dogs would eat them.
Yes. One of the 10. Yes.
Yeah.
I think, and one thing that, you know, I have had comments made to me by different people about like, oh, well, don't you think it's going to be really hard, you know, for you being away from your child while you're trying to work, or, you know, kind of comments along those lines. And it's almost funny to me because I'm like, the comments are directed at me. They're not directed at Noah.
Right. It's almost
Because,
a
but I,
again a generational thing. Like
yes,
women
100%.
aren't just staying home, and I'm not saying just, I'm trying to
Oh,
context
no.
that. Women aren't staying home and just raising babies and, you know, wearing the apron and like the old generational. And there are some women that, like I said, thrive doing that. But there are some women that just wanna have their space outside of motherhood, and there's nothing wrong with that. I have felt that
No.
tenfold being a stay-at-home mom.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, and I guess part of the reason I chose Noah is, I mean, like it's never, I recently got sick this past weekend. I've been sick off and on a lot. And Noah's like, hey, would you mind going, like I was on the couch. He's like, would you mind going to the bedroom? I'm gonna just try to get this kitchen all cleaned up. You know, like it wasn't a thing for him to clean the kitchen. And that's
Right.
just awesome to me. Like that's the way he was raised. He was raised to do those things. And yeah, to your point, it's just a different, we both can carry the load. It's not just on
Absolutely.
me, which means like for my work, like I don't have to carry the whole load of it. Is there things that are going to happen, you know, breastfeeding and so forth? Yeah. But I think a lot of that, like I said, goes back to kind of looking to some of these women who've already done it, and I've seen them be successful. So I think
Oh,
that gives
yeah.
me a lot of hope that I can be.
The movers and shakers that paved the way before us, I'm so thankful for all of them.
Oh, 100%. 'Cause I mean, I just think of like some of the comments that are occasionally made to me or some of the boxes that I know that I'm put into at such a small amount. I'm like, I can't imagine how that was all the time.
Yeah, and you, but you, like you said, you've been able to see people already doing these things. And I'm not going to say successfully because I'm sure they struggle too, but you're seeing them do these things and life's just great and it's just fine and it's totally doable.
Yeah, exactly. No, I 100%. And that's, I think, you know, I think it comes down to, do you have a supportive husband? Do you have a supportive company? And I know not, like you can't, I'm super blessed to have that. Like I'm super lucky in that sense. And I know
Yep,
that's not
that's
always the
amazing.
case, but definitely I think makes a huge difference.
It's going to make your trying to blend it all together way easier.
Yes, for sure. And then I'm just going to buy my eggs from you.
That's perfectly fine. And if you need zucchini, I think I've got it coming out my ears.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So is there anything else you would like to end it with that you want? Maybe somebody outside of ag to know about dairy, or even somebody inside the industry like me. Like, we farm, but I had no idea about dairy, just like you, beef cattle going into dairy. Is there anything that you want people to know about your company or like dairy as a whole?
I think you said like my company, not all big farm is bad. Like that would be the number one thing. It's funny to me. I don't know if I've ever sat in a meeting where we just sat there and talked. The only thing we talked about was how can we be profitable?
Right.
Like 90, yes. Do we sell and are we supposed to make money on the products that we sell?
That's how
Yes.
business
But
works.
exactly. But literally we know, and this would go to anybody that's like outside of dairy also, we know that healthy animals are profitable animals. So if we focus on helping our farmers create healthy cows, like they will do well, we will do well, the economy will do well. It's everyone. It's a
It's a
domino effect,
tenfold
right?
for everyone.
Yes. And I mean, I tell all my customers when I'm in there, I would much rather be selling you genomic testing and vaccines versus I'd be selling you antibiotics.
Absolutely.
Like
Let's
the
take care
long
of the
term.
root of the issue and not just put a band-aid on it.
Yes. Exactly. And I know that if I'm working in that direction with those, they are doing a good job. which means they're going to be here for a long time. So they're going to be a customer for a long time.
Yep.
That's cool. If I'm just selling them a whole bunch of antibiotics right now, their business probably isn't looking so good.
Yeah. And honestly, so, I mean, they can get antibiotics from, there's several companies out there.
Exactly.
But can they get the service and the smile, the service and all the data and everything that you're giving them?
I think that that is probably the difference of when you're dealing with generic companies versus branded products. You know, I think that's the, when you go into the genomics or the generic side of things, you're not going to get the support that you're going to get. So I guess it just comes down to whether or not you value that. As a business owner, you have to decide. Maybe I'm spending a little bit less, but am I getting the value added support? Am I getting the reassurance that if something goes wrong with the product, that they're going to stand behind it? You know, that's the difference. And only a businessman can decide, you know, where they value that.
Right. Right. Which is a huge quality.
Yes. And I, especially in today's day, when we talk about like lockup service being there, like sometimes you just need help. I mean, there are things that I work on that are completely outside the pharmaceutical space, but
right.
You know, I know it's helping my customers.
Right. Absolutely.
You asked me about like what to say, like if there's anything like for people outside of the ag industry. I feel like it's constantly being said, but you brought it up, like go to the source. If you have questions about dairy, go to a dairy and find someone to talk to. Like I
found that they were more than willing to give our kids a tour.
100 and they enjoy it. Like my husband is not a big talker. Whitney, you know Noah, like he talks.
But he loves tours.
He will talk for days if he gets to talk about his cows and the farming and the technology, because he loves the technology. And I think that's a big part of it, is just get your understanding. Because I know going into the dairy industry, coming from the beef industry, I didn't know what I thought about calves being moved to hutches away from cows as early as they are. Like I was like, I don't know what I think about this.
And they're babied.
Yes. And that it's just now that I understand the premise of it, I cannot imagine leaving a calf with the cow. Like I mean, I go into maternities and work with maternity guys, and I will see a cow, like them not getting a calf away quick enough and a cow stepping on it, or her being a little bit sick, you know, just being immune suppressed after having a child, and then her breathing and licking on that calf. And I'm like, get that calf away. Like this, you know, that it's just, so I think that there's just these misconceptions that if you only understand snippets of it, you're not going to understand the big picture or be able to appreciate it. And that's right. Like I say, at the end of the day, healthy animals are profitable animals. So you are highly wrong if you think that the farmers are only concerned about a profit. Because if they're only concerned about a profit, they're only concerned about health.
Absolutely. And so any farmer, rancher, dairyman, I mean, there's so many facets to the industry of ag, vegetables, all of it. If you have questions in the store and you're worried about something, go to the source, like Brooke said, totally contact a farmer. And if they can't help you, I guarantee you 9.5 times out of 10, they will find the answer for you. And it will be the correct answer, not something that an influencer or somebody has formed an opinion on. It will be actual facts.
For sure. I think about how many questions, Whitney, I asked you about, you know, like no-till,
right.
You know, or what's the name of the weed that I can never say correctly?
Palmer amaranth.
That one.
Pigweed.
A pigweed, but like you have
our nemesis.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Knowledge is power. And I think it's so cool that so many are sharing on social media and getting to learn things via technology, because that's, like you said, we rely on it so heavily.
Oh yeah. I find it very interesting. Like I definitely think that cottage cheese is having a day on social media right now.
Oh, it is.
Like, oh, it seems like every like health influencer is talking about like put cottage cheese in here. Like it's super high protein. It's a lower fat. But I've also seen it's driven increased discussion around dairy. Is it always good discussion? No, but at least the talking is happening.
Yep. Which is always good.
And cottage cheese is just good.
It is good. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining us. And if anybody has questions about Zoetis or wants to contact you, what's the best way?
feel free to just reach out to me on my email. It's brooke.bulware@zoetis.com. Or also, I have Instagram and Facebook.
Yep. And you recently just shared the fun reel for Zoetis, didn't you? A day in the life?
Yes, we did. We did a day in the life of me with Zoetis. It featured some of like my customers, and then it also featured like some of them, my time like going with Noah and some of the things that we do. So yeah, that was fun to put together.
So we'll all put that in the footnotes for everybody, and thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much, Whitney. This is fun.